Well, okay, we're about to kick off an all-new issue of Geek in the City Radio, which comes to you free every single Tuesday. You can watch and stream us at YouTube. Just search up for Geek in the City. Facebook Live, of course, Geek in the City. But our preferred place is check us out over on twitch.tv/Geek in the City. You can watch us live. You can engage in the chat. We try to respond as often as possible when people are live with us in the chat, because that just makes it a lot of fun. If you're not able to catch us live every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, well, the podcast goes up also free on Wednesdays, sometimes Thursdays, because, you know, life happens at times. As always, this show will always be free to you, the listener. All we ask is that you please share and give us 5-star reviews on any of your podcast aggregate of choice or our Twitch channel, whatever is required. And, of course, please show our sponsors some love. They're the ones that keep us going. They have believed in us in a long time, just like you have. So, with all of that out of the way, here we go. We're going to kick off an all-new issue of Geek in the City Radio.
Why, hello! And welcome to issue 727 of Geek in the City Radio. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Duran.
And I'm your other host, Cable Hashitani.
And you know, we're just going to jump right in. There is no Denise tonight. We've had her killed, and we've replaced her. No, we don't. She's not feeling well. But we are joined by our guest, Alex Hart of...
It's called Might I Suggest a Game. That's right.
I had it written down.
You're good.
This is hour 11 of my day, and people who don't know, but Cable and Alex both know this, you can get from Pioneer Square to where I live on the east side of Portland in 5 minutes on a bike if you just throw disregard to all personal safety.
Well, I'm glad you made it, and we are only have two hosts now instead of one. That would have been pretty bad.
I mean, really, the only downer is Cable doesn't have login information. I should just give it to him. I really should do that anyway.
That's
in case,
true.
You know, I explode.
There should be a master document entitled "In Case I'm Hit by a Bus."
You know what? I'll put one together this week.
Smart.
I promise. Hello, everyone. Alex, we'll get into what you're doing here in a minute. But hey, Cable, how's it going? I'm so flustered.
It's going fine.
Tight.
This has actually been, as far as our Tuesdays go, this has been a fairly moderate Tuesday. So.
Oh, I mean, same, just a busy one.
Yeah. Busy is fine. But...
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah, the introduction. Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying, it's been great. I'm just, after I'm done with this podcast, I got to go to the airport to pick up my mom, who's coming into town. So,
nice.
You know, so I've just been kind of prepping all day for that type of stuff and getting everything as much as I can sorted. But, you know, this weekend is a, you know, big convention this weekend,
yeah,
which we'll talk about later. So,
Alex,
yeah,
let's see next time.
What do you do?
What do I do? What?
I mean, I know, but like,
what?
Let me tell you.
Let's start off with Alex has
a very specific.
Kind of
run for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Sure. So, Alex and I met because he started working at Guardian Games. Has it been a year?
Almost a year. Yeah, it was in March last year, so it would have been around the same time. Yeah.
And Alex has a very specific moniker for what he does. And what is that?
Oh, yes. Well, I am a self-proclaimed board game sommelier, which on my channels, basically, I say, you know, which means I play a bunch of board games so I can tell you which ones are the best. That is essentially the service that I provide on my channels.
You know what?
So,
and
yeah.
You do it very, very well.
Thank you.
I've been following you on Instagram since you started Guardian, and which is funny to keep saying since I'm sitting at Battlegrounds right now.
Well, there's enough love to go around.
That's right.
There really is. And, yeah. You know, sometimes I don't want to sit at my place of work for over 12 hours in a day.
Right.
Don't blame you.
Yeah,
They also have tea here, so.
my employer was like, "Would you ever think about recording your podcast in we're at the visitor center?" I'm like, "No, I would not." No shade
You
on that.
gotta.
It's my favorite day job I've ever had, but I used to record this show after a day at like at work, and no.
Yeah.
It's hard.
For sure.
So you're the Might I Suggest a Game channel start. When did you start that?
Yeah, I started Might I Suggest a Game in February of 2021, which was about a month before my first child was born. So really great timing. Just deciding to embark on a social media journey at I like to get all my life milestones done in, all at the same time, right? You just knock them all out, right? It makes it a lot more convenient. Then you remember all your anniversaries. It's great.
Sure. I
So
mean,
yes, I started in February 21. And then I started doing the channel sort of full time in what would that would have been September of 2023. No, 2022. So been doing it for over a year and some change now. Yeah, it's great. I'm having a great time.
that's
Like,
fantastic.
I know that there are metrics that, people use to say, oh, I have this many metrics and this many followers and this and that. What has been the thing that's a more intangible measure of success for you as far as Might I Suggest a Game?
100%. Yeah, that's a great question. Because I mean, I think a lot of people, I have a number of people have reached out to me and just kind of starting on, doing board game social media or, even just like media stuff in general. And like, oh, how do you grow? How do you like get all these followers? How do you do this? And for me, it was less about that and more about, how can I commit myself to something, that I don't know how to do so that by the time and see how long it takes me to get to a point where I do know what I'm doing, basically. I approach a lot of different things in my life just kind of like a challenge, right? And so when I first started doing this full time, I said to myself, okay, I'm going to post one video a day on TikTok, and on Instagram as well. But on one video a day on TikTok for an entire year. And I tell everybody I did a panel at Gen Con last year, and I've done a couple of things where I've been like, giving advice about social media, and I basically tell people like, don't do that. That is insane and crazy. But I did it. I would definitely not recommend it to anyone getting into social media. But what it did to me is it changed my perspective on what it is to create content and really sort of made me much more comfortable with just the idea that A, I am a content creator, and that is a big part of what I do and the service that I have to offer. But also, like, I have a voice and people are interested in hearing it. And I shouldn't be afraid to put it out there, essentially. So that was it was sort of a big thing for me because I've never been a followers guy. Like the followers happen if you stay consistent, And
Right.
so for me, like the metric was like, okay, do I feel comfortable in doing this full time and can I whatever make it financially viable? Obviously, that's one thing. But also like, how am I building community, and how am I using my platform to sort of further myself in whatever my future pursuits might be, right? Because, as much as social media is a thing, I don't think it's forever. I mean, the internet is forever, but the idea of being a content creator, I feel like there's a life cycle, and if you don't ever think about like, what is the end game for this? Then, it makes it a little bit more. I feel like it's easier to burn out, in that. But, I made that year-long goal for me. I hit it. It's great. I've slowed down my posting cadence now, which makes it a lot easier for me to be able to do that and some of the other pursuits that I'm working on. So, and now I tell people I have enough followers now that people think I know what I'm talking about, which is, really half the battle. So.
Big on the fake it till you make it still kind of.
100%.
kind of mentality. Oh, go ahead, Ken.
I have to say that when I first met Alex, it took me a good couple of weeks before I'm like, is this guy for real? This guy can't be for real. This is not, this is just his persona. This is, he's just doing this. And like after a few conversations with him, it's like, oh no, Alex is 100% sincere. That is also why he does as well as he does with what he's doing. There is genuine sincerity behind everything that he's doing. Like he has the Asian hustle like nobody's business. Like I have not seen Asian hustle like this. But
Oh, I appreciate that. That really hits me. That really hits me good, Cable. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Not since Simu Liu tried to pitch himself years ago as a Shang-Chi.
You just gotta manifest it. Just gotta manifest it.
That's right.
Yep. He just adopted a dog.
Love that for him.
Yeah, he
And he
adopted
has
a
a
dog because they.
mail order frozen dumpling company, and I've tried them. They're delicious.
Well,
See?
look at that.
He's
Asian
got that
hustle.
hustle.
Yeah, it's
Got
built
that
different.
hustle.
Nah, but I do agree. I one of the things that I've tried to maintain as I've grown this channel and everything is, the focus on the channel is different from a lot of the board game like review channels out there because I always say I don't do reviews, right? I do recommendations and suggestions, right? And so even if, and I always vet the games that I, do sponsored content for or am making content for in general. And so I'm never gonna do something that I don't like feel like has value. But even if I don't like love the game or if it's not something that I'm like obsessed with, I feel like I still can make good content because I really think there's a game out there for everyone. And so my job is just a matchmaker. I'm just trying to get from point A to point B and say, hey, like I have this game. Maybe it's not for me, but it could be for X, Y, and Z, right? And I think that allows my content to A, remain pretty much positive. Like, I think there's this kind of discourse in the reviewer, especially board game reviewer standpoint, is like, if you say everything is great, is anything really great? It's like you need to have the counterpoints here and there in order to be like seen as honest and realistic. And while I agree with that 100%, that's one of the reasons why I try not to put my opinions out there so much. Because first of all,
Sure.
I am not proud enough to think that my opinion really, moves the needle, right? I like to be humble enough about my own opinions, but also I think that I don't know. I just think it's important that the whole picture of the game is shown. I feel like it's only fair to the people that have worked so hard on the product, right? It's like.
It's like, well, Cable knows this. Like years ago, when we used to do more comic reviews, sometimes we get called out because, as a rule, most of our comic reviews, even ones that we were kind of middling on, were still kind of positive. And we'd get emails or comments being like, oh, you like everything. You're a shill for Marvel, DC, Boom, Oni, as if they have money to pay reviewers at all or creators. And I was this way with like when I was a film reviewer too, and I've never reviewed board games, but I've got to say it's similar. Like no one sets out to make a bad game, a bad comic, a bad movies. They're all hard. Even like the worst comic you've read or the worst movie you've saw or maybe the worst game ever played, there were likely hundreds, probably thousands of hours of someone trying it, and somewhere along the line they dropped the ball. So I can't bring myself to rip it apart. Now, if they have like flagrant misogynist, sexist, racist things, yeah, I'm gonna tear them apart for that. But if you sought out to make a game or a comic or a movie that was a little different and you swung for the fences and you just whiffed it, if it's really bad, I'm probably just not gonna review it. And I know Cable and Denise, we used to talk about that, and we're like, man, we know what they're doing, but it's a bad comic. So let's just not talk about it. Because what's the point? Because odds are also good of the creators know they blew it. So why rub it in their noses?
Yeah.
And there's already so much negativity out there, especially
It gets clicks.
in reviewing anything. Yeah. We don't need to add to it.
No, I started I started writing for a website, geekdad.com,
It's a pretty good site.
recently. I have a good friend, his name's Jonathan. He like is the editor for the site. And so because I'm a dad now and also a geek, he was like, hey, come write some stuff for me. And so I do some board game reviews on there. And so in reviewing, right, in print, it's sort of a different medium for me to explore, which is a really cool opportunity for sure. But I always try to like, balance the good with the bad, right? It's like I'm putting my opinion out there and I'm saying, here are the things that I think are really good about this game. Here are some things that not so sure about this game, And regardless of whether I would play it again or I would, do this or do that or whatever, these are gonna be my honest. I'm gonna be honest, but I'm also I skew positive because I feel the same way as you. Like, there's so much work being put into this stuff. There's so much effort, and you can tell, like, you can really tell the, when board games like there. It's one thing when there's like a licensed board game or something that's getting put out by a Mattel or a Wizards of the Coast or something like that, where it's just like, But like, when it's an indie publisher or even when it's like, locally designed or something like that, like, they're trying their best. And maybe you don't always swing for the fences, or maybe you don't always hit a home run, rather. But it's important to appreciate the effort, I think. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to think, like, how do you pull off reviewing this many board games? I used to do that, full disclosure, many years ago when Guardian Games had its previous owners. One of the things that the old Geek in the City, when it was just a blog, where I would just yammer on written word, every month they would give me a board game that they thought was cool, but that no one was going to play because it was so out there, it wasn't a big name or whatever. And even just once a month, it required getting at least one other player. And eventually it got so hard. I finally had to tell them, like 9 months in, of like, look, I've already got a 3 month backlog, y'all. I can't in good conscience keep taking games from you. So how do you pull that off?
That's a great question. Now, so I'm lucky enough to have a regular gaming group that I meet with on Friday nights. And Jonathan is one of the people that is in that gaming group. And so because he and I have so many games between the two of us that we are like, on the hook to review, like we very rarely will play the same game twice because we're always like testing out new stuff. So that has helped me immensely just be able to get things to the table and be able to have like something regular that I can point to, be like, okay, on Friday I'm going to try out X, Y, and Z so that I can then review them. But I think the thing that has really I've really started to get better at is like my initial thoughts are now I'm confident enough in them for them to be like a good review, right? I think that is like the hard part is like obviously, especially for a written review, I feel like you want to play it multiple times to with multiple player accounts and all that kind of stuff to really get the full sense of the game. And while I think that's good, it's also not super feasible for someone, especially like me, who is, pumping out content. I mean, I have three separate sponsored content
Two kids.
videos. Yeah, and two kids. Yeah, exactly. Happening this week, right? And also GameStorm, right? So
We'll get to that. Yeah.
there's yeah, lots of stuff going on. And so being able to do that and then also having trusted partners who I can be like, so for example, on Sundays, I now at Guardian Games, I've been running the board game open play for maybe about like 8 months, 9 months or so.
Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah,
I
at the
remember that.
store. And that has become a really great place for community in Portland, which I'm like super stoked up on, because that was definitely something I felt like I was missing with the channel, is a sort of a local connection. So I'm really excited about that. But also there are people there that I can be like, hey, I've got this new game, you know, I can teach you how to play, and you play it and give me your thoughts, right? You know, and then I can incorporate other people's feedback in with the feedback that I have from playing it, and that can kind of make a more well-rounded review and overview and recommendation, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Aaron, I'll mention that one of the regular gamers in that group is Kristen Munn, who we interviewed a couple of years ago, a violence designer.
Oh,
Yeah, Kristen is great. And she's also helping us. She's volunteering with us at GameStorm as well.
Yeah.
She's great.
And you
Yeah,
said
I've
you
seen
run it
her
like
every
an
Sunday.
you run like an open game, like drop in to help review, you said? Yeah, I mean, so on
Or, you know,
Sundays,
curated, I guess, but
on Sundays, basically, you know, I will run the board game open play, which I have a new game that I demo every week. And I guess the intent of that is to let people know about new games that are coming out, but also be like, you know, things that may look cool on the shelf, but you want to try it before you buy it. So I'm demoing when Wormspan comes out, which is in next week,
next Friday, yes.
next Friday, then I'll be demoing Wormspan right at this event because I know that there are a lot of people in there that are gonna want to see it, gonna want to play it. And see how it's different from Wingspan, that type of thing. So, you know, that is essentially what I'm trying to do with the demos and also introducing people to new games in our demo library. But it also gives me the opportunity to, you know, I've had people who have met at this event and now they like hang out, you know, they all went to an escape room a couple weeks ago, you know. It's like I had two people in my, you know, two regulars who like met up and did a baking class together in December and it
Oh,
was
that's
adorable.
precious.
It was so cute. And I'm like, this is what it's all about. Like, this is why the event is so important to me, is because not only are, you know, obviously we're getting board games to the table. That's fantastic, right? But board games are about bringing people together. And this event has been an opportunity for people who are new to Portland, people who are, you know, have just moved here from somewhere else or just got a new job or, you know, just off a breakup or something like that, to just have a place to come and have people, like-minded people, to just like hang out and chill and play board games with. And everyone
Well,
there has been super kind.
I may have to pop by on a Sunday because I'm trying to get out more and I'm off on Sundays and I don't do anything.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. You know, we've got
Oh, you should come down. It's
but
a good
not
time.
this Sunday
That's
because you'll
right.
be at GameStorm.
That's right.
Tell us.
Yes. Cable, you have anything to say before I jump into the game
Oh, yeah,
store?
sorry.
So just a little bit of background for folks. One on Wormspan. Wormspan is a new game that's coming out that is loosely based on the game Wingspan, which has been like one of the top 10 selling games
It's
for I
like
don't
a
know how long
juggernaut
now.
still, right?
Yeah. And that's from Stonemaier Games. So that's coming out. And so Wormspan is the same thing as Wingspan, only with dragons and wyverns and that thing. So two, GameStorm is Portland, the Portland and the Portland metro area's own homegrown board game and tabletop gaming convention. I believe like Guardian Games is one of the founding like kind of pillars. They supported the game and
I think
host a lot of the
I remember helping
meetups.
one of the earlier years. This is when Guardian was next to Taboo adult stores. So
Yes.
that's going back a bit.
Behind the Office Depot. Yep.
Oh, okay,
Now home
sure.
to Wayfinder Brewing.
That's right, where they play D&D. They play
Yeah, I've
role-playing
been
games. So
there.
yeah,
I've
full
played there.
circle.
It's great.
But in fact, I believe both Angel and Michelle are going to be at GameStorm this weekend, which fascinates me. I'm like, how are they going to do that? Because they've also got to be at Brix Cascade, which is this weekend. Yeah.
A nerdy ass weekend.
Indeed.
That's the Lego convention and the game convention simultaneously. But yeah, so GameStorm it is a like they've got a vendor space, but it is really about the gaming. People come there and it is like a gymnasium-sized room full of people playing D&D or other role-playing games, another gymnasium-sized room full of people just playing nothing but board games all day long.
are people that are in like beta and play testing of their board
Oh,
games, their
yeah.
card game, their RPG. And don't get me wrong, I would love to play like Magic or get in on a one-shot campaign or anything, but I love to see the process. So to help out and give feedback on games is definitely a highlight. And if you can sign up for GameStorm still, like, get in your whatever game, but show some love to the creators, because that's the lifeblood of the industry, and it's fun to be there and give feedback for sure.
So that's GameStorm. What are you doing at GameStorm, Alex?
No, shout out to Designer Alley for sure. That area is really cool, and also if you play test, you can win free games. So I mean, there's really nothing keeping you from doing that. But so might I suggest a game at GameStorm? I am working with Jonathan, my friend who I mentioned before, who runs an event called Gaming with Geek Dad. So he's been running this for many, many years at this point, and it has evolved a little bit. But since I came on, I guess last year was my first official year volunteering for it. I spent a lot of time 2 years ago at the event. But that was kind of before I had a sort of a regular game night with him. And then last year I started volunteering, and basically it is sort of a scaled up kind of version of what we do at Board Game Open Play, where he and I have curated a full shelf, and let me tell you, it is a full shelf of board games, all of which have come out in the last year or so. So that everybody can get a look at some of the newer things that are coming out. So we refresh the shelf every year with new games and new stuff for the convention. And because he and I both do board game reviews in our own right, he and I have access, early access to a lot of stuff. And so there are several sort of prototypes or games that are coming out or haven't come out yet or are on Kickstarter now or things like that that we'll have available at our shelf as well. So it's a great opportunity to just like have a space to play and to kind of do an open play kind of thing, but also have access to the thing, like a lot of things that you wouldn't necessarily have access to. Early looks, first prototypes, and things like that. And then also have people available who can teach you how to play those things because he and I, between the two of us, have played all the games on the shelf. I think it's 65 or so games that we're bringing.
Wow.
It is it's
Just a couple.
quite the collection, but yeah, we fit it on all on one kind of like wire rack shelf. I'll see if I can find the picture because it is intense. Yeah, Jonathan did his best Tetrising and he sent me a picture the other night. It's pretty impressive. But yes, that's what I'll be doing. We're usually in the main ballroom in one of the corner back corners, and we just kind of I don't think we're gonna have a cordoned off area, but I will say this year is a little bit special because Jonathan and I are both lucky enough to be guests of honor at the GameStorm convention this year.
Ooh,
So,
nice.
most importantly, I get a hotel room, which is very cool because now I don't have to go home, so I can stay late and game all night, which I'm super excited about.
Having been a guest of honor at a local show before many years ago, I was like, do they know I live here? I can just go home. And my partner at the time was like, don't tell them that.
Don't tell him
You
that.
take that hotel room, you take that per diem, you revel in it, you've earned it. So
100%.
enjoy it.
Yeah, no, we're super
Also,
stoked.
yeah, like if you are at a local con, it is sometimes easier to stay at the hotel that's there than pack up everything, travel all the way home, unpack. Like, yeah.
Very true.
Cable,
Very
it's
true.
if you speak with multiple years of experience.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And I'm like, yeah, I've had friends like, are you just gonna go home? I'm like, no, man, I'm staying at the hotel. You live 3 miles away. Yeah, 3 miles where I gotta pack shit. No. And
No way. No,
it's
for
like a
sure.
little vacation too.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very excited to, especially so we used to live in St. John's up until last year, and so GameStorm was like 5 minutes away. That's great. But now we moved out towards like Mall 205 area, so it's a little bit more of a drive. So I'm excited to not have to ferry my sleep deprived butt across the highway to get there.
Yeah.
And I'll just be feasting on the bounties of Jansen Beach, of course. We'll be eating Jersey Mike's. We'll be eating Panera's, Taco Bell. You know, all kinds of stuff.
Can I make a suggestion?
Suggesting to the suggester, bold, but I'll take it.
So, yeah, I get it. Jersey Mike's, they're fine. Danny DeVito's a spokesperson. He's a national treasure. You've had the standards. But if you can get to it, it's not that much farther. It's an extra 5 minutes from Taco Bell. Can I recommend the Jubitz truck stop, which has been rated as the greatest truck stop in North America?
Wow.
Jubitz is magical.
Okay.
I've actually spent a Thanksgiving dinner there, which, by the way, I highly recommend everyone do at least one massive truck stop Thanksgiving or Christmas meal. It's, you think like, oh, it's so depressing. It's not. It's kind of great. Jubitz is amazing, and you can catch a movie, you can play some arcades, you can get a shower, get your truck cleaned. In fact, I bet you if you brought a couple board games to Jubitz, you get people playing. Anyway, we are not sponsored by Jubitz, although I'd be open to it. I love me a good truck stop. But anyway, Jubitz truck stop.
Jubitz, please call us.
I believe the Jansen Beach one is award-winning. So
that's amazing. I now I have to try it. Like,
you have to try
it. I am all about that. Here's the thing. My relationship with and I don't want to go off too much on a tangent, right? I could talk about fast food all day.
That is what this show does. Do not feel bad.
Yes, I could talk about fast food all day. We won't even get into that. But, you know, like, some people have standards, and that's great for them. I've never had standards when it comes to food. I am down to try whatever. I'm like, you know, we'll go fine dining, and then tomorrow, you know, we're you know, doubling down at KFC. You just never...
Don't say standards. You're open to all things.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm curious about Jubitz.
I'm you know, I'm Mexican-American. I'm all about traditional foods. But you know what? I will wreck a 2 for 99 cent fucking Jack in the Box tacos. I might hide in the corner.
Not the Jack in the Box.
I might hide in the corner and turn the lights off and eat them, but I'll do it.
Oh yeah. I used to have this thing.
I say without regret. There's regret the next day.
Yeah.
Because those do wreck you.
Oh yeah.
A couple hours later for sure. Yeah. No, I remember there was I had my very first internship. My first internship was in Portland. It was at the design place, and I remember I had this like ongoing thing with like a couple of the employees there where they told me about their tradition, which was like they would go to McDonald's and get breakfast burritos from McDonald's, you know, the little skinny ones that are like nothing. But, you know, they're like 99 cents or whatever. You go to McDonald's, get that, and then like park in the parking lot and put on sunglasses and like eat them. And like that was their like, you know, Monday tradition. And I was like, that's sick.
I've heard from some people that that's one of their top five hangover meals also. They're like, it doesn't mess with you. It's simple.
Yeah.
The secret to the Jack in the Box tacos, it's going to be weird, but I'm telling you, it's true. Plain French's yellow mustard. Squirt a little bit in because they're so fatty and salty. That tang of the vinegar. Oh, I'm telling you, man. Chef's kiss.
Wow. Okay. I'm like, I've been off Jack in the Box for a minute. That's probably my least favorite. And mostly it's because when I drive up to Jack in the Box, I look at the menu and it looks like the Cheesecake Factory menu where it's just like,
yes,
you know, they're serving... you know, hamburgers, they're serving, you know, fried pickles, they're serving, you know, stir fried noodles or something like that. And it's always just something else. And then there's like, you know, oh, this taco encrusted with Cheetos. I'm like, where am I?
But if you are craving the most Americanized neon egg rolls, you go to Jack in the Box.
Literally. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah,
there's
that. Yeah. No, it is something. So yeah. I'll have to try your mustard hack. I'll give it a chance. So there's someone in the chat that was giving out their Jersey Mike's order, which I'm all about.
There it is. Yeah. Was it Norm?
Love the rosemary bread. Absolutely. Got to get the club. I get it. You know, they have it Mike's way, and it's funny. Mike is I have an older brother. His name is Mike, right? And so I always say this is Alex's way. You know, he's got Mike's way. I got Alex's way, right? This is everything but jalapenos on it. You know, just throw it all on there. It's nice and juicy. So good. I'm a Jersey Mike stan. I can't lie.
It's all right. I dig it.
I'm going to have to try this Jersey Mike's.
Yeah. There was this
I
creator
have
on
yet to
TikTok
try it.
actually that like they're like a Jersey Mike's employee, and their whole thing was like sandwich hacks or like how you can like, you know, the best like order hacks that you can make for the Jersey Mike's menu. And I'm like, I in my heart, like I want to try these things, but I just imagine like walking up to the Jersey Mike's counter and being like, hey, can you make my order? But it's got like 10 different things you got to do to it. And
They're
just
like, you asshole.
in my mind, they're like rolling their eyes. And I'm like, I couldn't do that to somebody. Like, if someone had done that to me, like, I would just be like, hey, I'm gonna spit in your food. I think I'll spit in your food.
I
I
feel
think
like
that's
this
what would happen.
conversation could become a board game. I don't know what, but there's a kernel there.
There is.
Fast
And
food
that,
hat. I don't know what it is, but
no,
it's there.
you really hit the nail on the head though. Like, you know, when you get this deep into board games, everything's a board game idea. Okay.
Right,
Like
yeah.
I literally just been doing my life. I'm just walking around and be like, oh, I gotta walk my dog. That could be a board game. That could be a thing. So,
It
you
is a board
know,
game.
it is there are several board games, dog walking board games. So, you
Yep.
know, it's yeah. And
What is
now
that
that
one called?
Bark Avenue is the one that came out recently.
Oh my God, there really is one. Okay.
Oh. Oh, you
God
got a
damn it,
guest.
Prince Voltan, get out of the shot.
Aron says, God damn it, Prince Voltan, get out of the shot.
Oh man. Yeah, you
Steve
know.
Cooker, folks.
Steve Coker, yes. Who has his own really quite fun board game, actually.
There you go.
I quite enjoy it.
I can't
The Dex
reach it from
Dixit.
here. I bring it over.
Yeah.
You can step out of the frame really quick. It's fine. If you want
It's
to.
also got a bunch of other stuff on top of it.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Rip it off. He can clean it. No,
Dude.
I'm kidding. Don't do that to
We're
him.
playing here tomorrow. Don't piss him off.
He's a teddy bear. It's fine. Anyway, yeah, no, you're
That's true. It
So
is
you're
true.
all 4 days at Games Farm?
Yes, I'll be there. I'm checking in on Thursday, you know, only leaving the hotel for mandatory sustenance, you know. But it's also like, I don't know, me and Jonathan have talked about this a little bit. It's like, 'cause like we mentioned before, Kristen and her partner Adam are going to be helping out with our event this year, you know, just kind of covering breaks and stuff like that. And also Jonathan and I are doing a panel discussion on Saturday from 3 to 4 about playing board games with your family. But the sort of, I don't know, the thing that we discussed is like when Kristen was asking, like, oh, okay, like when do you guys take your breaks? When do you guys like go to lunch or whatever? And we were like, breaks? We don't take breaks. Like
Breaks are for closers.
we were literally like, I remember last year, I just remember like Jonathan like being like, oh, I'll be right back. Like he was going to the bathroom or whatever, and he just like gets like a, I don't know, like a Subway sandwich or something like that. And he's just eating it in the corner, just like with his back faced. And then once he's done eating it, he like turns back around and like starts teaching a game. Like it's just like we're always on, you know? And we do it because we love it. But it's yeah, it's absolutely, you know, by the end of it, you know, we're lucky if we still got our voice. So, you know, I've been singing a lot in the shower and the car to sort of prepare accordingly, my sort of a, you know, teaching timbre, as it were. You know, you
Right.
gotta work in a different range if you want to be sustainably speaking. So, my mom also, you know, she used to run a community theater in Cincinnati, which is where I'm from, and she was a voice teacher for some time as well. So, she's got some very pointed advice that she always gives about, you know, how to keep your voice during a con, which I'm like, that could be a panel
I'm
itself, you
sure
know?
she
It's
that could
like,
be a panel by itself,
I feel
100%.
like every time I go to like a bigger convention, especially like Gen Con or something like that, you know, all the demoers are like, at the end of the week, I can't even speak,
I'm
you
dying.
know? Yeah, and it's so sad, but it's just like, you know, you're yelling for
Right.
12 hours a day or whatever, so. My goal this year is to, you know, drink a lot of water, stay hydrated, stay lubricated, stay healthy, and we'll hopefully make it to the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Your
But
first few times, you can kind of live on con food, but as you get older, you're like, I can't do this, man. I need
I
a
gotta bring like a
salad.
Clif Bar
I
or
need
something.
fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the and I remember our Aaron's con days and mine always were at the convention center. But that was also the Halcyon days where the longest running family-owned Japanese market was across the street, Onsen. And
Oh, I
that
miss
was like
Onsen
everyone
so
else went to
much.
Burgerville or any close by
No, fuck
fast food
that.
place, and they'd eat con food. I knew exactly. I would just leave the convention, go over, get a nice chicken bento, or yakisoba bento. It's like it was perfect every single time. It's like, and people were like, "Where did you get real food?"
Oh my gosh, that
Like,
sounds so good. I was craving
I
some,
get myself like a red bean bun.
Oof,
Cable, why do you got to
that's
break my heart every time I miss them? I know he was done, he was retired,
yep, I
but I
know.
still
Oh
take it
my gosh.
personally that he's gone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
Onsen was
was
the
craving
best.
some like soba noodles this morning. Like I'm a savory breakfast guy. So like, people having pancakes and waffles, that's all well and good. But I got a chance to go to Japan a couple of times, and I'm like just waking up, going on a little walk and hitting in like little hole in the wall soba shop or something like that. It's just like nothing like it. It's just so good. It's just so filling and warms you from the inside, nothing like it.
But I just yeah.
So hungry right now.
I love
Anyway.
that. I know. I had dinner and I'm still hungry. I don't know what's going
I went
on.
to an event before this where I thought there'd be more food and there wasn't. So I'm like, I didn't take anything out for dinner. I'm hosed.
That's cruel.
sorry. So you're going to be there. So Game Storm is this, well, it's this week end, Thursday through Sunday.
Yes, correct. The 21st through the
Tomorrow.
24th. I think it opens around noon on the Thursday. You can
Okay.
still buy tickets, and you can also buy like day passes and stuff like that there. It's all pretty cheap,
So do they, because on their website they list $65 for the whole weekend, but they don't show day passes.
Yeah, I
You
know that
know?
there is a way to get day passes. I'm not sure if it's like I think you can walk in and get them. I'm pretty sure I had some folks do that last year. But there's also it's all now run through, I think, Tabletop Events, that proxy website or whatever. So usually you can find everything you're looking for there. I know that everyone has been looking at like signups for events and stuff like that. So there are several other events that happen. Obviously, like I'm running my event, but there's D&D, like our friend Jared Oakes from Guardian as well. He and his partner are going to be running some D&D tables there. There are several panels and things like that, diversity in gaming, and obviously the Geek Dad panel and some other ones as well. So lots of stuff going on. I remember last year there was a cool seminar about 3D printing that some people might be interested in.
Oh,
So
nice. Oh,
definitely
neat.
worth checking that out. And then there's also, I mean, there's the signups for actual games. So, a lot of times people will just be like, "Hey, I've got this game. I know how to play it, but I need people to play it with me." So they'll like put it in as an event and basically just be like, "Hey, I've got Battlestar Galactica. Come play it with me. Sign up here." And then people do it. It's great. So,
Yeah, that's the great way to just show up. It's like, I have a game that has been out of print for 5 years. Want to play it?
oh my
I
gosh.
Here you go.
so I eventually wanted to lead us into what are some of the games you miss that are out of print, and Battlestar Galactica was legit in my like top five.
Yeah. I have a couple of buddies, regulars who signed up to do a game of Battlestar Galactica, because that's I've heard that, if you want, I mean, they reprinted it as Unfathomable. It's a slightly different, but it's essentially the same, right? It's just not Battlestar Galactica, which I
Right.
think they realized that maybe that was the reason why people liked that game. So
Shocking.
I don't know. I don't know when they're if that will ever come back. But if you get a chance to play it,
True. I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. But nothing beyond the Pegasus expansion. Then it got weird. The new Caprica was, sorry, that's my own opinion. My favorite Battlestar moment, though, was years ago when we played it. I don't know how I pulled it off, but I was the Cylon. but somehow I got these fools to make me the president and the admiral. And then I went, hey, by the way, boop. And they're like, what do we do? I'm like, oh, die. Like, you're
Too
done.
late.
I win.
Oh yeah.
Oops.
Yep.
I was so
Yep.
proud of that moment. That was the time where I played the chief. The chief. He doesn't have a lot of, he doesn't, he can do a little bit of everything. He's not good at, he's not the master of anything, but it
Yeah.
was good times.
Okay. Yeah, I
Oh,
love those types of games, but you know, it's always hard to I feel like especially with a game like Battlestar Galactica where it's like this is a social deduction game, sure, but there's more to it than that. So it's not just like, oh yeah, you play werewolf, come in and join us, you know. Even Blood on the Clock Tower is like pretty low level of entry, you know. But you know, for those games, it's like definitely a con game. You know, it's like I want the people who are gonna come to the con and they're gonna want to play this game, and that's why we have it at the table.
I feel like people who played and got into the Battlestar Galactica game were obviously like friend, they were fans of the show. So in a way, they got into character. It's one of the few board games where everyone was also in character as they played it. And they
Yeah.
came in with their own agenda, whether they were the secret Cylon or not. They were like, this is my plan. I'm going to rewrite season two by playing the game this way, kind of stuff like that.
As is your right. As is
Yeah,
your
it was
right.
fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
That's why I like this game right here, Cowboy Bebop Space
I've never
Serenade.
played
Cowboy
it.
Bebop. It's just a pretty standard deck building game. There's nothing crazy. It's semi cooperative because you're bounty hunters. But I think it does a really good job of like each of the different characters has asymmetrical powers, obviously, and you know each of them are good at different things. So you need to work together to like defeat and capture the bounties, but also like how well or how much damage you do to them, it will determine how many points you get for beating them. So you like, you know, do I tack on and try to get a couple of points here, even though I haven't done a lot of damage, which is it's like it's all very thematic, which is great. And it's the same thing where it's like, you know, if you've seen the show, if you like the show, then you know you start really you can kind of like you know be your character a little bit and lean into that as you go. So that's another one of mine where it's like I really like that game, and if you like Cowboy Bebop, we'll play it together. And you know the amount of people that I meet that like deck building games and also Cowboy Bebop the Venn diagram is slightly
That
smaller
Venn
than I had
diagram not
hoped.
overlap
It's
very
not
much?
as much as I would hope, unfortunately, but you know, we're working our way there.
Nice. Well, if you don't mind, towards the end here, I think like we should put you on the spot on certain game questions.
Okay, yeah, please.
And Cable, if you've got some like questions too, just to kind of run a lightning round, like
Well,
I do.
do
One
it.
relates to what he's going to be talking about at the con this weekend. What are your top five games for playing with families?
There you go.
That's a good question. Top five games. Let's see. So one of the games that I always recommend, I'm recommending it at the store constantly, is a game called Challengers. It's right up there. That is, it's a really cool game. It plays up to 8 players, so it's good for like family gatherings and lots of people. It is fairly low rules overhead. The gameplay is essentially like war, so all you do is flip over your cards until you beat the other person, and then you go back and forth to see who runs out of their deck first. But there's like a deck building aspect in between rounds that's really cool. I'm always recommending that to people. I played it on my birthday last year, and we had 8 people in the tournament, and I lost to a 10-year-old. So I feel like, you know, the level of competition, you know, it's like there is strategy involved, but there's also plenty of luck with the order in which you draw the cards and things like that. So anyone can win that game, and I think that one is a fantastic one to play with family. Another one I really like is So Clover. This one is language dependent, so you definitely want to, you know, be able to read and write and all that stuff. But So Clover is just, in my opinion, it's my favorite party game, and it's one of the it's just like an inside joke generator is what I call it, where it's literally just you're coming up with like word association clues and trying to get your team to guess what your words were. And there's inevitably someone who just makes like a ridiculous connection, and then that is just part of your family lexicon for the rest of forever. And I think games that kind of give you that sort of experience, I think, are fantastic. Another one I really like is it's called
Amen.
Take Five or
Cool.
Six
Yeah.
Nymphs. It is a German game, just
Oh.
a quick little card game,
Yeah, same as
but it is more chaotic
Yeah.
with more
You're
players.
welcome.
I
Thanks
really
for
love
having
this one
me.
because
Yeah.
all you got to
Communication.
do is you have a hand of
Yes.
a bunch of
No,
cards and you
thanks.
just take a card and you play it. And if
All right, well, thanks. Hey,
hopefully those
have a good
cards will
night.
go in
You
these
too.
numeric rows.
Coming home
And as
anytime.
long as you're not the sixth one in the row, then you're good. But if you are the sixth one, then you have to take the rest of the row, and whatever's in the row is points, and you don't want points. So it is a really quick sort of card game to get into, but just very, very, I don't know, very clever and great with a big group. Let's see, two more. Bonanza. Bonanza is a Stone Cold classic. We call it the bean game in my family, but we're just just love that game. There's the negotiation, the wheeling and dealing, the set collection strategy, the push your luck. There's just so many good things in that game that just make that one fantastic for family. And then I'll shout out one that we're actually bringing to the con this weekend. There's one, it's called The King of Monster Island. It's in the same family as King of Tokyo, King of New York, which are classic games, but this one is cooperative, which I thought was really cool. So basically you are fighting the island. The island is spawning monsters, and there's also like a
Ooh.
mega monster on the island, and then you're traveling around the island dealing with the monsters and trying to defeat the ultimate monster before it defeats you. So that one has been great. Samson loves rolling the dice, and he's only three. So there's a big like volcano in the middle that you drop the dice down. So it's like a volcano dice tower, which is really fun. So great for kids, great for family. Really like that one for sure.
That's awesome. Do you have a couple of games that you feel like don't get enough love that they deserve?
That is a that's a good question. Let's see, games that don't get as much love as they deserve. So I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Cincinnati. I grew up playing trick-taking games like Euchre, Hearts, etc. And so I'm a big fan of trick-taking games, and I definitely think, especially here in Portland, actually, trick-taking games kind of have like a very niche audience.
What is trick-taking games?
Yeah, sure. So a trick-taking game is essentially it's usually a card-based game where you've got cards in your hand and you play one card per turn. That is a trick, as it were. And whoever has the best card that has been played wins the trick, right? And so the best card isn't necessarily the highest card, right? Because oftentimes there is a concept called trump, where there will be one suit of cards that is higher than that is essentially better than the other, regardless of its numerical value, right? So that is like the purest form of trick taking, and then there have been several variations on the theme over the last couple of years even, but just in the genre as well. So I recently just played this one that is called it was called Xylitar, which is a xylophone guitar, if you're wondering what that one is. The mascot is a polar bear playing a xylophone guitar.
Ooh.
I am not really sure how they came up with this theme, but essentially the idea is you get a bunch of these cards, and it's like there's eight different colors or nine different colors or something like that that the cards can be, and each of those colors goes up in the numbers that it has. So for example, the lowest number is pink, and that one you can have a 0 through 2. Those are the only values you can have in there. And then maybe it's blue, it's 0 through 3, and then it's 0 through 4, and then it's 0 through 5, all the way up to 0 to 9 or 0 to 10, I think. And so you have this whole spectrum of colors that have different distributions of cards throughout the deck. You get a hand of cards, you arrange them in order, in numerical order, and then you flip them face down and you pass them to the person next to you. And then you have to play
Ooh.
your entire round of trick taking blind. You have a general idea of where your numbers go to, but you'll never truly know until you start doing some deduction and start flipping some cards over. So it was a very, very, very clever take on trick taking.
What's it called?
It's called Xylitar. So Xylotar, Xylitar.
And is it still in print?
Yeah, it actually just came out, or maybe it's on Kickstarter or something like that. But we'll have it at the
Oh,
convention.
cool.
So if you want to swing by and try it, we'd be happy to teach you. But yeah, it's just like there are so many new kind of takes on trick taking that it's like it's harder for me to recommend it on my channel because it's not as universal as like a typical board game mechanic would be.
Sure.
But I love trick taking games. And actually the one of the like top tier trick taking groups right now is the Portland Game Collective, which is, you know, obviously local. They started a little local like trick taking con and stuff like that.
Wow.
And they've been publishing several games over the last couple of years that are mostly like trick taking or ladder games and things like that. So
Is Bridge City
nice.
Poker part of?
Yep, Bridge City
Oh, okay.
Poker. And then there's another one called like 535 or something. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but they've done a couple themselves, and then they've also like imported a few. So they just imported a game called Haggis, which I haven't played, but there is a pretty well-loved kind of like trick-taking ladder climbing game from Europe. So
Nice.
yeah. So
So I know
yeah.
Cable's got a question, but let me throw one out really quick, Cable, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
Because we talked about how sometimes licensed games are, was there one licensed game that has really surprised you of like, damn, it's cool license, and it's actually a really solid game?
Oh, yes. Okay. I've got, well, so I talked a little bit about Cowboy Bebop,
Not
obviously.
counting Cowboy Bebop and
Right.
Battlestar.
Right. We've already talked
Okay.
about those ones, so
Okay.
I'll bring a new one. The one that really actually surprised me and one that I still have on my shelf and that I really enjoy is The Thing.
I haven't played it yet.
Yes, so yes, The Thing, you know, classic Kurt Russell movie from the 80s, right? It was really funny because that game actually was coming out right around the time that I like got together with some friends. We went to a cabin and we actually watched that movie. So I got to see it for the first
Nice.
time and then I played the game and I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. It's like, so it's social deduction. It's definitely, you know, a step down from Battlestar Galactica level of intrigue, certainly. It feels more like the Resistance or you know, sort of a werewolf type thing, but you are, you know, obviously the cabin mates in The Thing, and you play as your different characters. You have some slightly special abilities, but you're going into these different rooms trying to clear them, and then you can encounter the thing and you will play to try to like destroy them. And you know, the I really like this game because there's sort of two main things. First of all, the bad guys win if obviously they can keep, you know, the thing comes and eradicates everyone, or if one person who is infected makes it on the helicopter at the end of the game, right? And so
Okay.
there's a legitimate strategy of you being like, yeah, I'll just like play good the whole time, and then they discover at the very end that I have infected the rest of the world and everyone's dead, right? And the second thing that makes this game really, really interesting is halfway through the game, or like part of the way through the game, there's another sort of infected card that gets shuffled into the deck. So you could potentially become infected where you weren't infected at the beginning of the game. So, you know, you know, in most of these social deduction games, like you got a role, that role remains constant, and you just have to figure out what role everybody is. But in this
Right.
one, like your role, there is like it could change, which totally adds like a whole new level of intrigue to it. So that one is a really good one, and I think it really fits so well with the actual like IP in the movie genre. So I think they did
That's
a really good
cool.
job.
Man, now I really want to play. I still haven't yet.
Yeah. It's very good.
Nice. All right, Cable, I don't
Got
got
the
a listener
feeling you would
question.
really enjoy that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we've got a listener, Bex, who asks if you have one, or if you have one, what is your favorite game that includes a dinosaur?
I'm trying to think of if I've played any particularly recently with dinosaurs. Well, so my actually the first legacy game that I ever completed was the Jurassic World legacy game, which was by Funko Games and rest in peace. They did a really fantastic job with this game, and it had a bunch of these really amazing dino sculpts in it that were just like fantastic. And it was challenging, but it wasn't impossible, which I really liked because you know, I'm usually not a huge fan of cooperative games that feel impossible. So you know, we went through the whole campaign. You know, I got to play as Dr. Ian Malcolm, which I was very excited about. You know, I got to, you know, do my poses and say my one-liners, and of course, it was really funny because they use the IP, but it's not like they can't use the likenesses of the people from the movie. So it's like it's clearly poses from the movie, like it's painted. It's Dr. Ian Malcolm. He's like, his shirt is open. He's like doing
Shirtless
his
and
pose. You know
yeah.
that pose, right? You know the classic pose. But it's like a slightly non-Jeff Goldblum face, which is like kind of a trip. But it's like we all know this is Jeff Goldblum. So I had no problems there. But I really liked that game. And but the other one that is a little bit more accessible is a game called Draftosaurus. I just did a giveaway of this one on my channel, but Draftosaurus is just like a really quick kind of like pick and pass dino drafting game. It has a bunch of these little tiny little dino meeples. You can play it in 15 minutes. Great for the family, great for, just like a little date night and stuff like that. Really, really enjoy that game. So
There you go, Bex. You can play that with your daughters.
there you go.
Or and yourself, I know.
I
She
mean,
loves di she loves dinosaurs
if you
too.
can still find it.
Oh no, is it out of print?
Well, Draftosaurus is back in print.
Oh, that's true.
Back in print as of recently, but it was out for a bit.
Nice.
I not to throw shade, but I do know that Draftosaurus is a much better game featuring a dinosaur than say what's the unstable game? Tiny dinosaurs
Oh,
or
Tiny Epic Dinosaurs or something?
not tiny, not the Tiny Epic games, the
Oh,
one
yeah.
by Unstable
Happy Little
Unicorns.
Dinosaurs.
Happy Little Dinosaurs. That's
Nice. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. They can find you on pretty much anywhere of would you what's oh my God, I should be better at this by now. Might
If
I
you find me
suggest a
a,
game?
might I suggest a game?
That's right. As if I were a sommelier giving you a suggestion. You can think of it like that. But yeah, I'm on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I am trying to like kind of grow the YouTube channel a little bit more, especially with the news of the potential TikTok ban and all that stuff. So, follow me on
The
YouTube.
American capitalist
Yeah,
takeover.
subscribe to me on YouTube. That's where I'll post like my long form reviews and things like that. So I'll do, Kickstarter previews, or I'll just do like I just recently did top 10 board games for couples and things like that. So
Oh, nice.
those are the types of content that I'll be posting on YouTube, and then Instagram will be all my short form stuff, which is I just recently did a video that'll go live tomorrow that is here's what your King of Tokyo character says about you. Doing some funny content on there as
That'll be
well.
good.
That's fun. And then, of course, Thursday through Sunday, they can find you at GameStorm.
Yes, please come say hi, learn a game, play a game that you haven't played before. It's going to be a blast.
Nice. Tickets are still available for the entire event. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. GameStorm is a lot of fun.
And I do love the fact that everyone knows it's at Jansen Beach. Everyone knows what hotel it is, but no one knows what the name of the hotel is because everyone just says it's at the former Red Lion Inn.
It's Red Lion. Everybody knows it's Red Lion. Okay,
Yeah.
it's a Holiday Inn, but everybody knows it's Red
It's the
Lion.
Red Lion.
In fact, if you type in the Red Lion Hotel in Google Maps, it'll take you there. So,
That's
Google agrees.
hilarious.
So, you can't even really do anything about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if you don't make it to GameStorm, come see me on a Sunday, Guardian Games, 12 to 6. We run the board game open play event there, and I can teach you a board game and sell you a beer. And you don't get that kind of service very
Well,
many places. I'll just say that much. So,
nice. Well,
also, you're gonna want to up your baking game because these folks bring in baked goods like you wouldn't believe.
oh yeah. I've convinced that, I don't need tips. I just prefer cookies. So people just have started bringing in some of that stuff, and
maybe I'll bring a pie.
you're
Oh,
absolutely.
that would one up everything.
A pie is
That's
delicious. We love a
right.
pie.
But you'd also have to bring plates and forks because we don't have any.
Yes, bring plates and
Can do that.
forks.
That's fine. No, knives for everyone. Just stab your piece out.
Oh gosh.
Handcuffs.
There you go.
Yeah. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. It was a really pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for
Thank you,
having me.
Alex.
And
Yeah.
it's been a pleasure. I hope to see you all soon.
Maybe on Sunday, I'll try to get up to that Red Lion on
I
Jan.
love it. I love it. The Red Lion, we all know it. We all love it.
That's right. Alex, thank
I'll
you so
see you
much for
when you get
joining
back
me.
to work.
Yeah,
Okay.
perfect. All right, y'all. Have a great night.
Yep, you too. Thank you.
Bye.
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 That was super fun.
Indeed. I'm going to go ahead and take myself off permanent mute now.
Yeah. Well, it gets a little loud sometimes.
It was suddenly everyone was walking in the door, and then they were talking very loudly across the room at Steve.
Happens.
I'm in the main room. Like that hasn't been too bad.
Yeah.
Like
No, the
I'm
fact that
sitting
we
up by
pulled
the
this one
window by
off.
the corner.
So yeah, thank you, Alex. He was fantastic. Next week, who is our guest again, Cable? Can you remind us?
Oh, I'm gonna
Oh.
not get their last names right if I don't look at them. Sophie Somaroff and Selena Bernstein. We had Sophie on before to talk to us about the movie. It was her horror show, Love Burns,
Oh, yes.
I think.
Yeah.
She has a new horror movie that's out, called Ride Baby Ride, and it stars Selena Bernstein. So they're both going to be on next week to talk about that new movie. It debuted last Monday, the 11th, and is going to be making its way through the short film circuit.
Fantastic. Yeah, we've got a lot of interviews coming up. Super exciting. Yeah.
And
If we
hopefully we'll
time it
have another
right.
return guest.
Yeah, we have a returning guest. I don't want to give any hints. Not yet.
Nope.
Mainly because the date's not locked in at, and they're very busy right
It's
now.
not.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when we time this right,
But
we'll roll right into Portland Horror Festival again.
oh, that would be great.
Have that marathon long weekend like last time.
That
But
was
maybe we
a
don't
lot of
stay
fun,
out
though.
to 2 a.m. drinking with Alex anymore. And by we, I mean Denise.
You say that.
I say that. No, it's gonna happen. That was a good
Having
time,
just
actually.
rewatched Shang-Chi, I've now pulled back into the lexicon. Well, we could do that. That would be responsible. We should get some sleep. Or
Or sometimes I go on YouTube and just watch that scene. Just because, like, just to have Juan doing karaoke with them. He's like, you're an
yep.
Avenger now. You have responsibilities. Or,
We
also,
should. We should. We
kind of
should.
unrelated, I forgot his name, but shout out to the inventor of karaoke. Passed away a couple of days ago, and I believe at 100. I forget, I can look at now I
Yeah,
feel like I'm.
I don't think I've ever known his name. Are you going to look it up now?
And I apologize. I'm going to murder this name. Shingachi Nagishi passed away 4 days ago at 100 years old. He created the first commercially available karaoke machine. So
What?
there you go.
I'm now looking at the name. You did pretty good.
Oh, thanks.
Shige
I have to remember that Japanese
Ichi.
is phonetic. That's the best way I
Yeah.
try to remember it.
Yeah, Shige Ichi Negishi.
1967 was the Sparko box.
Sparkle box.
He called it the Sparko box on eight tracks.
Sparkle box.
On an eight track.
I know I could come up behind.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's
Yeah.
pretty crazy.
Anyway. Shout out to a real one there who has fueled Portland's economy, whether he knew it or not. He fueled Portland's bar economy.
You really did.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, we'll have Denise join us next week. Hopefully, she will be feeling better.
I hope so.
Be good. And yeah, we'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Huge shout out to Alex once more time. Check him out at GameStorm this weekend. And with that, I am Aron Duran.
And I'm Cable Hashtonic.
And we will speak to everybody next week. Lion face, lemon face. Lion face, lemon face.